Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.
It's the POV rhythm and beat.
On Kaya959.
Kaya959.
With Pimelo Modine.
Wow, that was that. Wow. What a way to end this. Goodness, good morning, good afternoon, it's good evening. I don't know what time of the day it is.
You don't know if you're coming or going.
I don't know what time of the day it is, but it's so lovely to have you, Sheldon. Hello.
Thank you, Pimelo.
So, Alicia Keys and that song.
That song was anthemic.
Yeah.
So,
what's our theme today?
So, the theme for today is songs from musicals. And the reason why I decided that this should be the theme for the week is because the musical plays such an integral role in the evolution of our societies, specifically within the contemporary music sphere. In the 12th and 13th century, musicals were used to convey the liturgy. So stories about the Bible, it was just an easy way. Music's always been an easy vessel to use to convey a message because it's easier than sitting there reading a whole lot of lines. And so that's where it all started. But by the 1800s and even the Renaissance era, it was used in a very political way. So a lot of political messaging was sent in musicals. Whilst the nobility was listening to classical chamber music in the courts, the lay people were watching musicals and they were making fun about their leaders in these musicals, and it was very satirical, and music was the way in which this was conveyed. By the 1800s, you're looking at one of the popular forms of music consumption. There wasn't records at that stage, so people used to go out and they'd watch a show, and that's how they consumed their popular music. And as a result, there've been different iterations of what a musical is. There's what they call a book musical, which is a musical in which the story is told within the music, right? So the narrative is conveyed in the actual music. The lines that the people are singing is the story. And that's why I struggle with musicals so much, because I listen to the melody of the music. So I never hear the lyrics. So me in a musical is a hot mess because I can't hear the story. I've got to ask the people around me, what's going on? Because I can't actually, because I'm so focused on the musical arrangement and the melody of the songs that I'm not listening to the message. And the whole storyline is in the melody. Mm. Anyway, so that's a book musical. Then in recent times, there have been all of these jukebox musicals. And it sort of describes what the musical is. It's like popular hits, and they are included in the musical. They still tell the story, but not so much in a narrative kind of way. It still fits into the narrative of the story, but it's popular Hot 100 songs that are used within the musical. A good example of this would be like We Will Rock You or Mamma Mia. That's what they call a jukebox musical, which they use top 40 hits and in the musical. Then you've got something called a review musical, and that is when they just put haphazard songs in that doesn't fit into the narrative whatsoever, and it's just songs in a show, like a Bollywood kind of thing, where people just break out into song. No one knows why. It's just songs within a narrative. Anyway, so in recent years, a lot of pop musicians have been doing these jukebox musicals, and this Alicia Keys song comes from something called Hell's Kitchen. The musical is called Hell's Kitchen, and it's a semi-autobiographical musical about Alicia Keys' life, and within the narrative there are all of these Alicia Keys songs, and this specific song is in the musical. When the song, it wasn't written by Alicia Keys, it was written by two girls, Angela Hunt and Janet Sewell. And Angela was a protege of Jay-Z, and the two girls were overseas in London, and when they were there, they were homesick for New York, and they wrote the song Empire State of Mind. And when they got back, they presented the song to Roc Nation, and Roc Nation did not like the song. They were like, "This song is it's a no go. We're giving this a miss." Anyway, a friend of theirs then recommended, maybe you should send the song directly to Jay-Z. Mm-hmm. And when Jay-Z heard the song, he was like, "Actually, I like it. I'm going to move these things around, and I need to get," because Angela and Janet were the singers on the track that were doing the female line. They were like, "We need to get a strong female vocalist to do the melodic line." And they thought about Mary J. Blige first. And I know how much you don't like Mary J. Blige.
No.
And then Jay-Z was like, that song, the piano line in that song, so strong. And the only person who can do any justice to this line is actually Alicia Keys. And they phoned her and they said, "Will you be the female lead and will you play piano on the track?" And she did. And the song was a smash hit. I mean, when it was released, it was like everywhere. Everyone was performing the song. It was like on every radio station. People were playing it nonstop. It sold over 13 million units, went to number one in the United States, number two in the UK. It was a massive hit. Subsequently, there have been other people who have done these jukebox musicals, like Cyndi Lauper. Dolly Parton's got one coming up. We've got We Will Rock You, which is one. Elton John's done Billy Elliot, and he's done, he did The Lion King. That wasn't a jukebox musical. That's more of a book musical. Mamma Mia, the ABBA songs were in that. So it's become a very popular thing and another way for an artist to revive their careers by doing an alternate thing. Also helps get the EGOT.
Let Pimela Modene take you on a musical journey
on POV.
One of my all-time favorite divas. So the original song was written by Graham Lyle and Terry Britton and was released in 1984 and was a number one hit for Tina Turner, one of her biggest hits. It sold 2 million units worldwide. It's an iconic song, but in 2018, just before she passed away, she launched this big musical called Tina. And Tina was autobiographical jukebox musical, which spoke about her life, etc. And it had a whole litany of Tina Turner songs on it. And this was one of the songs that was included in that jukebox musical. Interestingly enough, this song, which was written by Graham Lyle and Terry Britton, was originally written for Cliff Richard, Sir Cliff Richard. And when he heard the song, he was like, I don't think this is a banger. Anyway, so it was then offered to another band called Bucks Fizz, and they were also lukewarm about the song. And eventually, Tina Turner got it, made it a massive hit, and it was her big comeback. When the song was released, she was 45 years old. At the time, she was the oldest female artist ever to have a number one hit on the Billboard Hot 100. That record was taken by Cher in 1999 when she released Believe. But at the time, at 45, she was the oldest. It shows you how young the industry was back in the 1980s.
Can we get a call from Dr. Selby, which is on the line with us? And Dr. Selby, good evening.
Carmen, how are you there?
I'm good. And Dr. Selby, how are you?
I'm blessed beyond measure. My musician guru, how are you there?
How are you, Sheldon? Can you hear Dr.
Selby? Hi. How are you doing?
I'm blessed beyond measure.
I'm glad to hear that.
No, Carmelo, I don't know. Maybe it's because I can't watch movies. That is why I think Sheldon's time is a little bit less than the way I expect it. Yeah, you know, I feel that you are supposed to have an hour because I like this history, this music history.
That is healthy. Is this a formal complaint?
Is this
a formal complaint?
No, it's not a complaint as such, but it's a request.
Okay, and they say, hey, that is Elvi. Hey, we shall review the request. No, Dada Selvi, I appreciate that. Thank you. We will definitely honor the request. Thank you.
No, thank you.
Thanks,
thank you. Thank you so much.
Well, you heard it for yourself.
Well,
right?
Look at that.
So before we played Tina.
Yes.
Tina the diva.
Oh, my goodness. Tina, the voice.
The voice. The legs.
Oh, the legs. The legs. Oh, everything.
Then there was.
Oh, my goodness.
I laugh, folks, because if you've been listening to this feature for a long time, you would know how Sheldon feels about Beyonce. Sheldon is not a fan of Beyonce. So talk to me about Beyonce being your choice.
So, you know,
we note how you're struggling to speak.
Yeah. So the universe has a very strange way of playing games with you. So when I suggested songs for the show, the song I actually wanted was One Night Only by Jennifer Hudson.
Yes.
But I did give the second option of Listen.
Yes.
Which I think is an exceptional song.
Let me just disclaimer. Yeah. Of many of her songs, this is for me one of her best songs.
Yeah. Mm. So the song is exceptional. I wanted to speak about Dreamgirls.
Mm.
So Dreamgirls was this musical. It was originally written in 1975, premiered in 1981. It was massive. The musical itself is a very loose recounting of the Motown story. Berry Gordy, Smokey Robinson, the Supremes, which are the Dreamgirls, and the story of how Diana Ross became the lead singer of the Supremes and the interfighting between the band members. So it's logical that they would get Beyonce because Destiny's Child, etc., three girls, similar dynamic. David Geffen was the one who put the musical on for the first time and then sold the rights for the musical to Warner Brothers for them to put it up in 1980. And for the longest time, there was talk about this movie coming into existence and it never materialized. Whitney Houston was supposed to play the part. She would have been good. Lauryn Hill was also
interested.
Kelly Price was also considered for the musical in different roles. And then eventually in 2004, Geffen got the go-ahead to do the music, the movie. The musical, the original musical, won 6 Tony Awards. So it was a highly critically acclaimed musical. Mm. Beyonce, in this specific song, you can hear her limitations. If a Cynthia Erivo had done this,
we need to talk about her.
She would have blasted.
Yeah, no,
she would have blasted the song right out. But you can hear, like, you know, like sometimes. Oh, I'll give you a good example. You go to the Valley of the Waves in Sun City,
mm-hmm.
and you've got that sea sand that they've got there, which is actually just river sand, all right? And then you scratch, and then you can see the bottom of it, and then it's just normal sand, right? That's how deep it is, right? But if you go to the ocean and you scratch, you can't get to the bottom of that sand. Beyonce is the river sand at the Valley of the Waves.
I have no words.
Yeah. It's just, you can hear her limitations.
It's interesting that you say that, because for me, in the movie Dreamgirls.
Yeah.
Boy, did she sink.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, her acting wasn't great.
Her acting was atrocious.
Yeah.
Yeah. You could see her limitations there.
Yeah. But the voice, I mean, she does the things. There could have been people who would have done it better than she did in this specific
Although,
musical.
I must say...
But it's a great song.
She did better with the song than with the acting.
And this song was specifically, so there was an original group of songs that were written for Dreamgirls. Mm-hmm. This was one of the 4 new songs that was written specifically for the movie version of Dreamgirls. So it doesn't appear on the music, on the stage version of
You mentioned Cynthia. We need to talk about Cynthia
soon. We're going to get to Cynthia. Don't you worry.
Okay. So what's our next song?
So our next song is, let me just get my list here. It's from a musical called Encanto, mm-hmm. which means, it's called Encanto, which is, it means to find. And it was a very interesting musical because it was set in Colombia. And so the whole musical, the song at the time was, it was written. So the thing that differentiates this specific song from, I'm in the wrong place. Our next song is actually called My Shot. And mm-hmm. it's the reason why I got the two confused is because it's the same composer.
Okay.
So it's from a musical called Hamilton. Mm. And Hamilton was a major event. The thing about Hamilton is the story of Hamilton is about one of the founding fathers of the United States of America, a white guy. And when they did the musical, they decided that they were going to have a full black cast. So the idea was that the story of America was being told by America today and not America then.
Mm.
And the composer of the musical is quite a well-known musical composer. And his name is Lin-Manuel Miranda. He's a Latino. And he decided that he wanted to take this alternative look at the United States, but from a different vantage point. Hamilton's the lead character. The musical, which is a book musical, so it's a musical where the story is told through the songs, is a hip-hop musical, which is unusual because there hadn't been such a thing up to that point. This specific song called My Shot was so iconic that when Barack Obama got inaugurated into the White House, they performed this specific song in the musical, which is a song about like saying, this is my opportunity. Mm. This is my turn now. And that encapsulates what this specific musical is all about.
Kaya. 959. 959. No one can compete with that.
Yo. Nobody. Aretha Franklin is the ultimate diva.
She is the ultimate.
We had two big ones this show. Well, actually, we're going to get a third soon. But Aretha, on top of being a phenomenal musician, was shady, very shady, because she was like, no one is good enough to be in her presence. And so a few years ago when they were talking about doing a biopic before she passed away, and they were suggesting, Clive Davis was suggesting all of these different singers, she didn't approve of any of them. She didn't think any of them were good enough to play her in a movie. But anyway, this song is probably one of my favorite songs from a musical. I'm not a big musical lover. I just like the idea of the musical and how it's transcended centuries as a way of conveying a message, but because for me it's a bit lost because I can't hear the message in the music, and so I'm not a big fan. But this song is one of my favorite. It's a beautifully crafted song. It's from a musical called Les Miserables, which was based on a book written in 1862 by a guy called Victor Hugo, and the musical is about the French Revolution. The music was written by two guys, Claude Michel Schoenberg and Herbert Kretzmer. Mm-hmm. And Herbert Kretzmer is actually a South African who wrote the music for the whole musical. And this song is originally titled I Dreamed a Dream. Mm-hmm. But the Aretha Franklin version is titled I Dreamed a Dream.
Mm-hmm.
And it's quite interesting because her spin on the song is actually quite political, because what it's trying to convey is, or it's, what it's trying to do in the shifting of the title, and she also sings the words in the actual song, is to almost juxtapose the French Revolution to the civil rights movement. she references in the song, which she changes very little, she's referencing Martin Luther King and his "I Have a Dream" speech from 1963. And what is very significant is that in 1993, when Bill Clinton got inaugurated as president, they asked Aretha to come and sing this song at the inauguration, which sort of brings, and I remember watching the performance and being moved by that moment because it's, you know, a black person in the White House at a place where they would have probably been denied access for hundreds of years. And there is Aretha Franklin doing a song from a musical about the French Revolution, but actually tying it back to the history of the United States through the title, "I Have a Dream." And I was so moved to tears. And every time I hear the song, I get goosebumps because I just think of what the significance and impact of the song is. The song that we had before that was... I can't even remember what the song was before that. Sorry, I'm not on top form today. So the song that we had before that was "Oh My Shot," which was from the musical Hamilton. And that and so the two songs tie to each other because Hamilton is about Alexander Hamilton, who was one of the founders of New York and one of the founding fathers of the United States. And that's quite an interesting story as well. If you go look back on the story of New York, you see that there's very many similarities between the founding of New York and the founding of Cape Town, because it was the Dutch that discovered New York. And all they wanted to do there was put a refreshment station in New York. And look at what happened. So that's quite interesting.
It's the POV Rhythm and Beat
on Kaya 959.
With Pimela Modine.
Yes. Now that's the vocal that Beyonce should have done on Listen.
Shade.
It's the truth, though.
Cynthia
Erivo, I mean, just like the previous song with Aretha Franklin, you can hear the full range of the voice. The low
She's very
low
good,
note
eh?
And the high.
She is excellent.
The full range is there. You can hear the whole thing. Cynthia Erivo is probably one of the greatest talents.
She's the greatest find of this decade.
Oh, yes. She is exceptional.
She really is.
Now, this is from a musical called The Color Purple. The original was just a movie, and it was based on a book by a woman called Alice Walker, which was released in 1981, and it landed up winning the Pulitzer Prize for literature. So the original was just a book, and then it became a movie in 1985, produced by Quincy Jones. And in the movie, they discovered Whoopi Goldberg, and Oprah Winfrey was discovered as part of the movie. And actually, Oprah Winfrey had beef with Quincy Jones because on the original poster, her name didn't appear on the poster because she was so unknown that they were like, we're not going to put her name on the poster. Anyway, in 2015, they decided that they were going to convert the movie into a musical, and they got Brenda Russell, who was iconic singer in the 1970s, Ali Willis, and Stephen Bray, who incidentally wrote some of Madonna's early hits. And the three of them wrote the music for this musical called The Color Purple. So the musical landed up winning 3 Tony Awards and became this big thing. Now, this specific song in the musical, have you ever watched it, the musical?
Yes.
And it's towards the end of the musical, and the song is about this woman who's like, I'm not going to take abuse anymore. You know, like I've gone through it all. Enough is enough. I'm not doing this anymore. And it's such an emotional moment in that musical, like when you're there, and that's the whole thing about musicals. When you take the song out of the context, you don't really get it. But when you're there and you're hearing the song within the context of the whole production, you've got a completely different attachment to that song. And here, you can hear the full gambit of the emotional turmoil that someone goes through when they are an abused person. Because you can hear the elation, you can hear the soft moments. You can hear the quiet moments in the song. The song itself takes you through all the emotional aspects of abuse. And Cynthia Erivo, who played the character in the musical, who sings the song, she is so good at personifying through the voice. She plays Celie in the musical. She played it between 2013 and 2015. She was the longest running Celie for this specific musical, totally personifies the emotion of this abuse in the song. The straining of the voice. It's just so beautiful, and she does it so well. Interestingly enough, Alice Walker, a few years ago, 2012 I think it was, refused to allow the book to be published in Israel because she said that she was not going to support a apartheid state. So she refused to allow the book to be released there. The Color Purple has been highly criticized, and I don't know if it's been criticized because it's a predominantly black cast for depicting men in an ill light. I think if it was any other kind of circumstance, people would be like, whatever. But I think because of the connotations and the attachment to it, a lot of people have criticized the musical because of its negative depiction of male abusers in the musical.
Dr. Sheldon Rochalil, thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
We will see you very soon. Thank you. Thanks, folks. We are back on Monday at 8.
Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.